Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
This is The Bert Show.
Sanjay Gupta from CNN joins us right now. Hey, Sanjay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
The last time I saw you, we were holding the camera for each other, taking pictures with Bono.
Yeah, that's a pretty good intro, isn't it?
Isn't it?
We were hanging out with Bono.
Yeah, it was only for 3 seconds, but yeah, we were together with Bono. Hey, Sanjay, I'm glad you're joining us this morning because, man, I am a prime example of somebody that fell into the marketing trap. And maybe you can give me more of a medical opinion on this. But, you know, I'm watching these Lunesta commercials over the last couple of months. And over the same amount of time, the last couple of months, I have just been having the toughest time sleeping. Like, there's not a stupid amount of stress on me. I'm not up at night thinking of anything really important. My mind just wanders from topic to topic to really superficial topics. And I haven't been able to sleep. I mean, probably 2-3 hours a night. And
Wow. When
you get up at 3:30 in the morning, you have to kind of be on your game in a job like this. I'm willing to do anything to get, like, at least 6 hours of sleep. So when Lunesta came on and they said, look, you can use our sleeping pill. It's non-addictive. You can use it long-term. I got all excited about it. I went on the internet. I did my research on it just to make sure it was true. Then I talked to my doctor about it. My doctor says, you know what? For your case, don't worry. You're taking half a pill. It's only 1.5 milligrams rather than the 3 that it comes in. He says, go ahead, do what you got to do. So I started doing that, and I guess I've been on it for about 6 weeks now. And from time to time, I try to sleep without the Lunesta, and it's not even a possibility. I don't get a wink of sleep.
Wow.
So I guess my first question for you, and then we're going to talk more here about your special coming up, is are these pills really addictive? And if they are, how can they market themselves as not being?
Well, you know, and there's lots of different pills out there. So, you know, I don't want to speak generally for all the sleeping pills. But, you know, a lot of them now, especially the ones that have come out most recently, are less addictive. When I say less on purpose, because none of them are designed to be taken lifelong. I mean, that is not the purpose of them. They're supposed to get you through periods of your life when you're having difficulty sleeping, but then you're supposed to come off of them. It sounds like you, Bert, you know, let me just say a couple things. One is that morning anchors tend to have a difficult job no matter what. I don't mean to bum you out here or anything, but it is just you guys have the hardest job in the world of actually trying to maintain some sort of sleep schedule because the body's not designed really to be awake and asleep at these sorts of hours. Your cortisol levels are different. Lots of things are telling your body you should be asleep when you're actually awake and vice versa. So it is hard for you, which is why sleeping pills, maybe your doctor said that this might be an okay alternative for you. I take it you tried all the different things like, you know, blackout curtains for your house, for your room, where you sleep, things like that, the good sleep hygiene, as they say.
Nitrous oxide.
What's that?
He has nitrous oxide balloons in his room. Right. He uses those.
But, you know, just things like that before you go to the sleeping pills. We're a quick fix society, and we are subjected to the marketing. There's no question. But I think too many people in this country probably jump to the pill first before trying things that might be a little bit easier.
What does long-term use mean? Is that 4 weeks? Is that 6 weeks? Is that 6 months?
It usually means months. As opposed to years and months as opposed to weeks. So they're not real specific in terms of long-term, but long-term could be up to 6 months, maybe even a little bit longer.
Dr. Gupta, how does Lunesta or Ambien or what's the other one? Isn't there a third one on the market?
There's Restoril. There's a few others out there.
What changes do they do in your body that allow you to fall asleep?
You know, you have these neurotransmitters in your brain. You guys are asking good questions. Which basically, fire, and they conduct signals throughout your brain, give you a certain level of wakefulness. What these medications typically do is sort of decrease the amount of neurotransmitters either by the number or by the way that they actually work. And that's some of the differences in the different types of medications. Some of them actually take away some of the neurotransmitters, and some of the medications make those neurotransmitters less effective. And that's basically what happens. The key to these medications, what makes them different than generations past, is that they come into your body, work right away, and then when they're done working, they're out of your body. So they have what's called a very short half-life. So they don't make you groggy. They're not supposed to make you groggy the next day like a Valium would or some of the older generation medications.
What are some of the warnings they give you when you get on a medication like that?
It's interesting. For the most part, they talk about some physical side effects, like you might have dry mouth, you might have headaches. Sometimes people get nausea or vomiting. What's been fascinating lately, and you guys have probably heard about this, is that one of the medications, Ambien, has come under some criticism recently for a very small study from Minnesota talking about the fact that in your brain, the area where you sleep and the area where you eat, those areas of the brain are kind of close together. So people are having these bizarre sort of sleep eating episodes while on Ambien.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm sure this one woman who actually, was completely asleep, walked down the stairs, went to her oven, turned it up to 500 degrees, cooked a meal, ate it, went back upstairs, and the next morning accused her housekeepers of stealing her food. She had no recollection of this happening at all.
Really?
And it's rare. You know, mm-hmm. The majority of people listening who have ever taken a sleeping pill are not going to have these sorts of problems. Mm-hmm. But there are some side effects to, with any medication you got to sort of be concerned about.
Ambien may be a little bit of a different deal, too, because actually I saw this on CNN yesterday, but the volume was down, so I don't know if this was part of your report or not. But, people are using Ambien now as almost like a recreational drug, where their sex is better, where they like the high of the Ambien. They're not using it to go to sleep, but they like the dizzy feel that it gives them. So it's very dangerous that way also, right?
It is. It can be. It can be for some people, and what's striking to me as we're working on this special, Bert, as we travel around the country, is the number of young people that have started taking sleeping pills regularly, even in high school, even in grade school. That's a bit concerning, and I don't know if it's actually for sleep or to some extent there's this recreational component to it, but obviously that's concerning. I mean, we never took any. I mean, it was unheard of for someone mm-hmm. who was a kid when I was a kid to take a sleeping pill. That's just it sounded kind of crazy.
You did a very interesting kind of self-test on yourself also, where you stayed up 30 straight hours and realized that's the kind of effect that sleep deprivation can have on you. Can you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting. I wanted to sort of put it to the test myself. And as a doc, we went through residency training, and you have a lot of people who have problems with that while they're, in terms of lack of sleep. But I wanted to see, I flew the 747 simulator, which is just like flying a plane. I mean, it is an amazing simulator. I did it out at NASA and in San Francisco. And then I basically sleep-deprived myself for 30 hours and did it again after having gone through all the instruction and all the training. What was remarkable to me is when I came back in 30 hours later, I was obviously tired, but I was kind of like charged up to do this, this pretty cool simulator thing again. It was amazing how many of sort of the just takeoff sequences and things like that I sort of had memorized and thought I had down pat that I had forgotten, or I just couldn't recall as quickly, certainly not quickly enough to be flying a plane safely. And also just the mechanics of it, keeping the nose sort of flat and level as I'm cruising across the horizon at 600 miles an hour, I was having a harder time just doing that. I really had to exercise some effort to do that. And I think it just shows, people drive on very little sleep. You have 80 to 100,000 crashes a year because of drowsy driving, people with not a drop of alcohol. There's been concerns about pilots and doctors as well, as I mentioned.
Yeah, there's the irony in the whole thing, Dr. Gupta, is that I think in your industry, it's notorious for these interns to be staying up, for 30 straight hours, or doctors, 30 straight hours.
It's a good thing they're not landing a plane.
And doing procedures on people, too,
Yeah, you know, and you know, the honestly, you know, having been in this medical industry for a long time, you know, it's one of those things where I haven't seen the consequences, you know, the bad sort of outcomes as a result of lack of sleep. I just haven't seen that. But certainly you worry about it every single day. And, you know, it's part of the reason the nation as a whole has tried to restrict work hours for residents. And, you know, when I was a resident in neurosurgery, you know, working 100, 110 hours a week was not uncommon. And now, you know, the federal law, national law, says residents can work no more than 80 hours a week. And it's targeting this very issue.
A couple of questions coming in for you. Boy, Susan can speak for me here. Hey, Susan.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. First of all, I am addicted to Ambien. I think I've been on Ambien probably about a year, 2 years, and now I'm doing Ambien CR. And just yesterday, I called up and was like, my pharmacist to make sure that I had another refill. I need to get off of it. My sleep is not great, and now I'm trying to figure out if it's more of a physical addiction or if it's really just a mental addiction, because I cannot sleep, you know, quote unquote, without it. So what are the best recommendations, Dr. Gupta, that you could recommend to kind of get myself off of it, you know, feel refreshed? Because I don't even feel refreshed anymore, even after taking Ambien CR. So
that's an important point right there. So it sounds like it's probably not working as well for you as it once did.
Right.
Now, you're not supposed to develop an addiction to this medication, which I'm not saying that you haven't, but it's physically not supposed to be addictive.
Right.
Nor are you supposed to develop that much of a tolerance. How much are you taking?
I'm just taking one. I think
milligrams?
It's more. What?
10 milligrams?
I think it's 10 milligrams, is it? Yeah, I think it's
one
10
thing
milligrams.
You could try doing, and a lot of people do with all sorts of medications, is just sort of trying to wean yourself down. So some of those 10 milligram tablets are scored, you know, so you can actually break it in half.
Okay.
And you may want to just do that and start trying to take progressively lower doses and see if you can get yourself off that way. Sometimes with any medication, either for mental or for whatever reason, they are hard to come off of. If you wean yourself off of it, you might have much better luck.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Have a good day.
Good morning.
You too.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Aaron with a comment also. Good morning, Aaron. You are on with CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Hi. I was just calling to say I graduated last year from high school, and I just heard a comment that he made about younger people starting to get into all these sleeping pills, and I just remember everybody was looking for Ambiens all the time. It's so popular now with high schoolers.
Why was that? Was it they wanted to sleep, or was it more of the recreation?
No, they were taking it. They were skipping school. I mean, I skip school a lot myself.
Skipping school and
sleeping.
People
were skipping school all the time, popping them in at 10 o'clock in the morning and just staying up all day, you know, just feeling it, you know?
Yeah, I could tell you, because I was taking Ambien before I was taking Lunesta, and before you go to sleep, what it does is it kind of gives you this almost buzz-like, drunk-like feeling. You're almost stoned on it, where your balance isn't quite right, and you're almost in this like high, almost dreamlike state before you go to sleep. And you can force yourself to stay awake and continue that high, or you can go to sleep on it.
I think kids are just lazier these days, and now when they skip school and they get some drugs, they just want a nap.
Well, no, I mean, I agree with Bert, because when I was on dialysis, that messes up your sleep pattern. And so I was prescribed Ambien to help me get a consistent sleep when I was sick. And that was the joke before I would fall asleep, is the fact of how I was acting and loopy and drunk and acting stoned and all this stuff right before I went to sleep. And it was, I can see what the draw is to that drug, because it is a fun feeling before you go to sleep.
Dr. Gupta, you said earlier in the conversation that a lot of people jump to these pills quickly without doing some of the other things that can help you get to sleep. What are those other things?
Well, you know, they talk about things like a good sleep hygiene. And it's funny, even as I talk about that, people are like, that's not going to work for me. You know, and it's sort of amazing when you talk about things like, you know, getting all the distractions out of your bedroom, setting your thermostat between 66 and 70. For you guys who have to go to bed earlier, getting blackout curtains so you can really knock any visual light stimulation into your eyes, which can keep you awake, things like that. The reason I bring them up is because every sleep specialist we talked to said, you know what, you got to use that because it works for the vast majority of people. Now, other things, you know, in terms of, you know, if there are particular concerns or worries that you have, writing those down, you know, sometimes recording those even. We have a woman that we follow along in our sleep special who was a total skeptic of all these types of techniques. And we got her on a sleep schedule that ends up working very well for her. She has two kids. She works in a busy ENT clinic. She has lots of concerns and worries at the end of the day, and then she's got to cook meals for her kids at night and everything. Just a busy life. But now she's sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, and she's pretty pleased with it because of some pretty simple non-medication-related techniques.
Dr. Gupta, long-term, when you're not getting 8 hours of sleep, let's say you're just getting six or you're getting five, what kind of effect does that have on your body?
We don't want this answer, especially here in this room.
I know, right?
You know, it is remarkable. I will tell you, you know, lack of sleep. One of the interesting things is we found that nobody really knows why exactly we sleep. But we do know that what happens if we don't sleep enough, and that is that, for instance, somebody who's chronically sleep-deprived will have a higher likelihood of being overweight because their cortisol levels are different than the average population. They have a likelihood of developing more chronic diseases such as sleep apnea, pulmonary disease as well, and heart disease, which you know, I'm not trying to bum you guys out here, but these are some of the things related to lack of sleep. Also, just the whole process of sleep. I mean, this whole idea that, you know, you have these day's activities. We're having a conversation right now. And when you sleep tonight, you're going to lay down the memories into your brain in some sort of way that you can retrieve those. Right now, if you're not getting enough sleep, you may remember this conversation a couple of weeks from now, but probably not a few months from now, because your body just isn't able to restore and retrieve those memories as well because of lack of sleep. So there's all sorts of different physical and mental effects from the lack of sleep.
Dr. Gupta's special is on CNN March 26th at 10 o'clock, and it's going to attack all of these issues. Do you have to take off real quick, or can you take another couple of questions?
We can take a couple questions.
You don't have a brain surgery to do?
I'm running into the hospital here, but go ahead.
All right.
Well, first question is, currently I'm on Ambien. Can you get me a prescription to Lunesta?
No prescriptions over the Burt Show.
Good morning, Ken. You're on the Burt Show with Sanjay Gupta.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Dr. Gupta, I was wondering about the use of Provigil as opposed to doing sleep products like Ambien and Lunesta.
Now, we have to explain what that is because that's what the doctor just gave me, and I haven't tried that yet. That is something that's supposed to stimulate you in the afternoon, right, to keep you awake?
Keeps you awake. It's a go drug, and they've been using it for a while. They tested it in the military for some time for pilots who had to stay up for a long time, cross Atlantic flights, things like that. It's a different premise altogether, Ken. We're talking about keeping people awake as opposed to getting them sleep. And it's an interesting question. I mean, this has been a philosophical as well as a medical question. If we don't really know why we sleep in the first place, is it possible to just keep people awake? And there's a lot of studies being done on people who take this Provigil drug sort of chronically, who are just staying up for 72 hours at a time and then maybe getting a night of sleep. And we just don't know the long-term effects of that as of yet. You know, for me, it strikes me as one of those things where you sort of guess that probably isn't going to be good for you. We don't know exactly why, but it just strikes me as something that's probably not going to be good for you. So I'm personally staying away from it.
What my doctor told me, because, I mean, Sanjay, obviously when you're not getting enough sleep, then you're tired during the afternoon. So what I was doing was I was taking diet pills to keep me up during the middle of the day just to get me through meetings. And my doctor recommended this drug, the one that our listener was just talking about it. But he said there's going to be a steep price to pay for this because, I mean, you're keeping your body up all day at a very high speed, and then you're knocking it out at night. So,
yeah, it's an interesting problem, and we just don't know. I'm always a little reluctant to sort of criticize or endorse anything without knowing the long-term results. But yeah, again, you know, there's got to be some restorative effects of sleep on our body that we need, and that's important as kids. It's important as adults. The Provigil might be something that's, you know, the context came up is what about, you know, college students who are studying for exams? What if they want to stay up for 72 hours studying? I don't know, you know, are they going to be able to remember those things as well if they've never had a chance to actually lay down those memories? I'm just not sure.
March 26th, 10 o'clock, the name of the show is Sleep, right?
That's it. We spent a lot of time coming up with that title. That's what we came up with.
We love having you on. We really, really do. Whenever you have a special on or you just want to stop by, Dr. Gupta, please call anytime.
I appreciate that. Anytime, Bert. Talk to you guys soon.
And we'll also put a link up to the website over to CNN and the specifics on your show.
Great. Appreciate it.
All right.
Stay up for it, all right, if you can.
All right. Thank you.
This is The Bert Show.